Hi everyone, today we have the privilege of beginning together Hilchos Tefillin and Mezuzah v'Sefer Torah, three different areas of mitzvos, but that all connect under the larger rubric of Kisvei Kodesh, and the Rambam will be dealing with them each in the order that he's outlined here of Tefillin, and then Mezuzah, and then Sefer Torah. Mir Tashem, as we go through these halachos, we'll have a chance, an opportunity really, to deepen our understanding of mitzvos we encounter all the time, and hopefully by appreciating those halachos, we'll understand them and do them on a deeper level. Parak Aleph, Halacha Aleph. We're going to begin with Tefillin. Arba Parshios Elu, Shein Kadish Li, V'Vahaya Ki Yiviyacha, Sheva Sefer Elu Shemos, V'Shema V'Haya Im Shemoa, the four Parshios which we have in Tefillin, Hein Shehan Akhtavos B'Pnei Atzman, these are written all on their own, Mechapin Osan Ba'or, and they are placed in leather, Nikran Tefillin, and we refer to these as Tefillin, Manichin Osan Al HaRosh, V'Koshin Osan Al Yad, and we place them on our head, and we tie them around our arm. Afilu koto shel os achas me arba parshios ma'akiv eskulan min haTorah ach yu nechtavos shleimos ketiknan. And even missing one crown of one letter from these four sections of the Torah, which are written in the Tefillin, can destroy the whole thing. It can prevent one from filling the mitzvah on a biblical level until they are written fully, absolutely, properly. Halacha Beis. V'chein shtei parshios shem mezuzah shein shema v'yim shema, as well as the two sections of the Torah which are in our mezuzah, which is Shema and V'haya, afilu os achas mishtei parshios im chaser kotzo ikiv min haTorah ach yu shtehen nechtavos shleimos. Similarly, we find that by mezuzah as well, if even one bit of one crown of one letter is missing the two parshios which are found in the mezuzah, so then it can render the whole thing invalid. V'chein sefer Torah shechaser afilu os achas pasul. And the same thing as well with the Sefer Torah, is that if it's missing even a single letter, so then the entire Sefer Torah can be invalidated. Now, many Mefarshim point out, the Rambam sounds like he holds that this is specific to a letter with regards to the Sefer Torah, rather than to a crown of a letter, as we saw by Tefillin and Mezuzah, meaning to say there's a stricter standard by Tefillin and Mezuzah than by a Sefer Torah. And on a simple level, one way to respond to that is because a Sefer Torah has so many more letters to it. There's so much more invested in the writing of Sefer Torah than Tefillin and Mezuzah, that therefore the standards are less high, though a Sefer Torah's Kedusha, as we will see, is more severe. Halacha Gimel. Asar Devarim Yesh B'Tefillin. There are 10 matters related to Tefillin, Kulan Halacha Moshe Sinai, and each of these is something which we have as a Masorah on a biblical level passed down from Moshe from Har Sinai, from Hashem there. But Kulam Ma'akvin, and each one of these can prevent the fulfillment of the mitzvah. The Fikach, Im Shina B'Achas Mehen, Harei HaTefillin Psulos. Therefore, missing one of them, if you violate the standards that are required for any one of these 10, so then the tefillin are invalid. Shnayim mehen v'ksivasan, two of these 10 relate to the writing of the tefillin. Ushmon b'chafiyun v'kshiras ritzuos sehen. And the other 8 relate to how the tefillin are wrapped up in the leather and the way that their various straps are to be tied. In this parak, the Rambam will deal with these first two. Ve'ilu hein hashnayim shev'ksivasan shekosven osan b'diyo v'shiyu nechtavos alaklaf. Number one is that they have to be written with ink, and number two is that they have to be written on a specific type of parchment. Halacha Dalet. Ketan Maisa Dio. How exactly do you make this type of ink? Mekatsana Ashan Shel Shmanim O Shel Zefes B'Shava K'yotzi B'hen. You gather up the vapor, the evaporated components of either oil or tar or wax or something along those lines. The Govlin Osan B'Sraf Ha'ilan B'Ma'at Dvash. And then you mix it together with tree sap and a little bit of honey, and you make it very, very moist, and then you crush it until it makes sort of like cake flat pieces of it, and then you dry it up, and then you put it away, at the time when you're ready to write with it, you have it soak in gallnut juice, or something similar to that, and then you write with it, to the point where that if you were to try to erase it, it will succeed in being erased. And this is the ink which it's ideally supposed to be used to write Sefer Torah with, Tefillin and Mezuzos. Vim kasav shloshtan v'mei aftza v'kal kanasos shehu omeid v'eino nimchak ksher. But if you do write these three, any one of them, Sefer Torah, Tefillin, or Mezuzah, with gallnut juice or with this other type of ink, which is able to stay and won't be erasable, you have still fulfilled this requirement of writing with ink. Halacha hey, im kain, ma'amiyah to halacha, shenemra l'moshe mishinai, shiyu kosun b'diyo. If that's the case, so then What did the Rambam mean beforehand? What is this halach moshe sinai, which requires it to be written with ink in specific, and this type of ink, if it's not coming to exclude other things, and to say that those will prevent the fulfillment of the mitzvah? So Rambam explained, it's actually coming to exclude other colors. Lemat shar mine tiv onim, to exclude other colored ink. Could go in ha'adom v'yarok u'kiyotzi behen, such as red or green or anything else like that. She'im kasa b'sfarim o'tfilin o'muzuzas afil os achas b'shar mine tiv onim o'bezahav hare ilu psulin. Because if you were to write either Sefer Torah or Tefillin or Mitzvot, even one letter of them with some other dye, if it was green or red or the like, or even if you used gold, actual gold, and it would therefore be the color of gold, so in these circumstances, it is still going to be invalid. That's what the halacha is coming to teach. Halacha Vav. Now we turn to the parchment. Shlosha Oros Hain. There's three types of parchment, leather made from the animal. Gvil, Veklaf, Uduch, Sas, Tos. That's the names of each one of the three. We'll see exactly what each is defined as. Ketzad. Lokhin or habehema, or achaya. You take the skins, the hides of either a domesticated animal or a more wild animal. Ma'birin sear mimenu, and you remove the hair from it. Tchila, that's the first step. Va'acharkach mochin oso b'melach, and then afterwards you salt it with salt. Va'acharkach ma'abdin oso b'kemach, and then afterwards you tan it with flour. Va'acharkach ba'aftza, and then eventually you use gallnut juice. Chiyotzi bo, mitvarim shemekabsin es or, with something else which will cause the skin to contract. Umachazkin oso, and strengthen it. V'zehu ha'nikra gvil. And then, while it's in that state of being hairless and having done all these different processes to it, that's when it's called a gvil. That was the first of the three categories. It has both halves connected still. We will now see the next halacha will detail how you can split the two halves of this gvil to create the other two types of parchment. Halacha Zion. And if you took this leather, this hide, after you removed its skin, and you split it to its thickness into two parts, done in osin, as indeed the tanners do, oros, to the point where then you have two different hides, echad dak, one that's thin, and that was the one that was opposite on the external side, the one that was touching the hair, the echad ava, and one which is thicker, and that was on the inner side, that was facing the flesh of the animal, the abdu osan b'melach, and then you have them also tanned through salt, and then with flour, and then afterwards the gallnut juice, kiyotzi bo, something along those lines. So zeh chilek shemimu ha'sear nikra duch sastos. The one that was opposite the hair, the outer one, that thin outer one, is called duch sastos. Zeh shemimu ha'basar, and the one which was opposite the actual flesh of the animal, nikra klaf. That's called parchment, and as our Rambam has already told us, for tefillin, they need to be written on parchment. Halacha ches. Halacha Moshe Sinai, sheyu kosvin sifrei Torah al gvil, v'kosvin b'makom ha'seir. With regards to the sifrei Torah, the halacha Moshe Sinai is that we write them on that gvil, when it's both halves still together. And on which side do you write on? You write on the side which was outward, the one that was facing the hair. V'sheyu kosvin ha'tefillin al klaf, v'kosvin b'makom ha'basar. And that we should write tefillin, the halacha Moshe Sinai teaches us, on the klaf, which is once it's been split, that inner one, the one that was touching the basar, and on which side should you write it? On the side that was facing the basar, the flesh. And as for mezuzah, you write it on that other half, the external half, and you write it on the outside half as well, just like as by a sefer Torah, you write it on the one that would have been touching the hair. And if somebody writes in the wrong spot, on the right type of parchment, for example, they're using the klaf, but they, instead of writing it on the inner side as they're supposed to, they write it on the outer side, or that they wrote it on that double part, or on the external one, on the side, which is on the inward side, as they're not supposed to, so then that invalidates it. Lachates. Aval pi shekach yalach Moshe Sinai, even though these different three parts are attributed to each one of these three types of mitzvos, on a Torah level, as a halach Moshe Sinai. Nonetheless, im kasav sefer Torah ala klaf, kasher. Lo nemar gvil, el lemai haduch sastos, shim kasav alav, ha-sefer pasul. With regards to the sefer Torah, though ideally you should write it on gvil, which is when the both halves are together, if you wrote it on only the inner half, the klaf, so then that is still technically going to be valid, because when we said that it needs to be on a gvil, it really was just coming to exclude a duch sastos, the outer half of it. If you write a sefer Torah on that, then it's invalid. V'chein im kasav mezuzah ala klav ala gvil kshira. And similarly, a mezuzah, which is supposed to be on duch sastos, if you wrote it on either the klav or the gvil, that too is going to be valid. Lo nemar ala duch sastos ela netzvah. So when it said specifically a duch sastos, that is the ideal, but it could be on either of the other two with regards to the mezuzah and still be valid. Halacha yud. Ein kosvin svarim tefillin mezuzos al gabi or behema tmeya v'chayv ov hatmeya. You are not allowed to write any of these three types of mitzvah items if it's with the skin, the hide of a non-kosher, domesticated, non-domesticated, or even fowl type of creature. Aval kosvin al gabi or behema v'chayv ov hatorim v'afilu nevelos trefel shelhen. However, you are allowed to write on the hide of either domesticated or non-domesticated or fowl type of creature, which is kosher, and even if they hadn't been shechted, even if they had been sick and died, or just weren't shechted properly, those are allowed to be used. The ankles from al gabi or hadag hatahar b'mnei azuama she'ein zuamaso posekas ba'ibda, that you are not allowed to use a kosher fish's skin, though you might have thought, why not, once it's kosher? And the answer is because it is disgusting. It has a repulsive element to it, and that won't go away in the process of tanning it, and therefore it's invalid to use for these mitzvah items. Halacha yud aleph. Gvil shel sefer Torah, the klav shel tefillin o shel sefer Torah. Either of these types of parchment, either the gvil for the sefer Torah or the klav for tefillin or sefer Torah, which we said beforehand is valid, tzarech la'abid osam l'shamat. When you are tanning them, they must be tanned with the purpose to be used for these mitzvah items. Ve'im ibdan shelo l'shamat, and if you did not have that proper intention when you tanned them, psulin, they are invalid. Lefikach, im ibdan ha'goy, psulin, therefore if a non-Jew does the tanning process, they are invalid. Ve'afal pisha amarnu lo la'abid or zeh l'shem ha'sefer or l'shem ha'tefillin, and even though we told the non-Jew that he should do the tanning for this hide for the sake of a sefer Torah or for tefillin, it's still going to be invalid. Why? She'ha'goy al-das atma hu'ose, lo al-das ha'socher oso, because he's still thinking his own thoughts inside when he's doing it, not the thoughts of the one who had hired him. Lefikach, kol davar shetzarech maisa lishmo, im aso hagoy, pasul. Therefore, anything which requires this element of lishma, that it be done for a specific sake, you cannot rely on a non-Jew to do it, because he has his own purposes, he's not necessarily listening to the one who had hired him to do the job, and therefore it's invalid. Mezuzah eina tricha ibda lishma. However, mezuzah does not require tanning to be done for the sake of lishma. Halacha yud beis. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai, she'en kosen sefer Torah, v'lo mezuzah el besirtad. There is another rule, halacha Moshe Sinai, that one is not allowed to write a sefer Torah or a mezuzah unless there is sirta. What is sirta? It is lines etched onto the page for where the one who we describe will see where to write the words. Aval tefillin ein tzrichan sirta, lefi shein b'chul. However, tefillin does not require this process of sirta, these lines etched onto the parchment, because ultimately they will be covered anyhow. Umutra lichtov tefillin u'mezuzos shelo min haksav. And it's permitted to write tefillin or a mezuzah when you are not looking at another sheet of paper to ensure that you're writing the text correctly. Why? Shakol goras in parashios elu, because everybody is very familiar with these particular passages. Aval sefer Torah, asr lichtov bo apilu os achas shelo min haksav. But a sefer Torah, you are not allowed to write any part of it, even a single letter, unless you have in front of you another sefer Torah or the text of a sefer Torah, which you will be copying off of. Halacha yad gimel. Sefer Torah, tefillin, u'mezuzos, shekasvan min. If a sefer Torah, tefillin, or mezuzah was written by a heretic, yisrafu, they must be burned. Even though they have Hashem's name in it, nonetheless, they are burned. Kasvan goy, o yisrael meshumud, o moser, if it was written by a non-Jew, or a Jew who has converted out of Judaism, or he is an informer on other Jews. O eved, or a slave, o isha, or a woman, o katan, or a child, harielu psuin, they are invalid, the yignazu, and they are to be buried. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, ukshartem, uksavtem. Only somebody who is obligated to do the tying, that excludes a child, a woman, an eved, a non-Jew, and he believes in it, that excludes a Jew who's converted out of Judaism and one who informs on other Jews. So such an individual is somebody who's able to write them. Nimsu biad min, if you find such an item, either sefer Torah, tefillin, or mezuzah, in the hands of a heretic, veina dua mi kasvan, but you don't know who wrote them, yignesu. So in that case, out of caution, you still bury them. Nimsu biyad god, if you find them in the hands of a non-Jew, kshirim. So then they are considered valid. Ve'ein lochins farm tefillin mezuzos min ha'goyim, v'yoser al tmehen. And we don't purchase these items from a non-Jew for more than their value is worth. Shelo lahargilosam liganvam ulegazlam. In order not to encourage them that their efforts will be successful if they would go and steal them, therefore we want to put an end to it, and we only buy them at their actual going rate. Halacha yud dalet. Sefer Torah, tefillin, u'mezuzos, shekasvam al gavi, or behema, chaya, ba'uf, hatmeyim, o agabi orosh inamu baden, o shekasav sefer Torah tefillin al orosh lo ibdu l'shman, har elu psulin. If a sefer Torah tefillin or mezuzah was written on a non-kosher species of animal's hide, or it was written on hide that hadn't been tanned, or a sefer Torah tefillin which require tanning to be done for the sake of these mitzvah items, if it wasn't done for the sake of the mitzvah item, so in any one of these three different scenarios, these circumstances, the tefillin, sefer Torah, or mezuzah is invalid. Halacha tezvav. Hakosev sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah, v'shas ksiva lo haisa lo kavana, v'kosev azkar min azkaros shebehen, shalo lishman, psulin. If somebody was writing a sefer Torah, tefillin, or mezuzah, and at the time when he was writing one of Hashem's names, he didn't have the proper focus, he didn't write it lishma, so then it is invalid. Lefikach. Hakosev as Hashem. Therefore, when somebody's in the middle of writing one of God's names, afilu melech Yisrael shol b'shlomo, even if a Jewish king asks him how he's doing, lo yeshivenu, you shouldn't respond to him. Hayakosev shnayim shlosh shemos, if you're writing two or three different names of God, hariz emafzik b'nehen umeshiv. So then you can pause in between one name and the next name in order to respond and greet him back. Halacha tez zayin. Hatova as a komas, lechtov as a shem. If somebody dips the quill into the ink in order to write one of God's names, lo yaskam also a shem. He shouldn't begin with that name of God. In other words, as he's getting a new, fresh dip of ink, he shouldn't first write God's name as the first thing he writes. It might get smudged or the like. Avon maslehu me'os shelfanav. Rather, he should begin from the word beforehand, from that last letter. Shachach lechtov as a shem. If he forgot to write God's name, Tola oso b'nashitos. So then you're able to still stick it in there, have it hanging in between the lines. Avon mixas Hashem b'shita u'mixaso taloi. However, if part of the name was in the actual line and part of it will be now hanging above it, puzzle, then that's invalid. U'bashara tevos, with regards to all other words that you might be writing other than God's name, im shachach, if he forgot to include it, kosev mixas ateva b'shita u'mixaso limala. He can have part of the word on the actual line and part of it hanging above. When is that true? But Sefer Torah. That's true with regards to the Sefer Torah. As we noted earlier, in terms of the crown of a letter, a Sefer Torah is a bit less sensitive to these mistakes because it has so much more riding on any mistake because you have an enormous amount of time invested into writing a Sefer Torah. But with regards to the mezuzah or tefillin, which is much, much shorter and much less words, much less letters, ain't tolin bahen afilu os achas. We don't have even a single letter hanging, in other words, above the line. El im shachach. If he forgot, afilu os achas, even a single letter, gones, so then you hide away ma'ashakos of that which he's written so far, v'kosiv acheres. He writes a new one, because, again, it's a smaller time investment. Umutur lechtov as Hashem, al-makom ha-gered, al-makom ha-machak, b'kulon. And with regards to any of these ones, you are able to write God's name on a place where something has been already scraped off, or something has been erased. That's true for all of them, Sefer Torah, Mezuzah, Tefillin. Halachi Yedzayin. Kosvei Sfarim, Tefillin, and Mezuzos, asr lehem lehapuch ha-siriya al-panam. Those that are writing Sefer Torah, Tefillin, or Mezuzah, it is forbidden for them to flip the parchment on its face, meaning to say where the letters are written. El poris el habegut, rather you can spread something on top of it, some cloth on top of it, o koflor, you can fold it in a way where the text won't be facing down. Halacha Yudches. Sefer Torah, Tefillin, or Mezuzah, she'amar ha-sofer, achar she'yatzu mitachat yado, lo kasavti azko she'pen l'shman, einu nemen l'paslan, avol nemen l'hafzid kol schara. A Sefer Torah, Tefillin, or Mezuzah, which was written by a scribe, and once it leaves his hands, he claims that he hadn't written the names of God contained therein for the proper purpose. He's not believed to invalidate them any longer once it's left his hands, but he is believed to lose out on his wages. Why isn't he believed to claim that they're invalid? Because again, if it's not written with the sake of being for God's name, when you write God's name, so then it's invalid. So why isn't he believed to say this? The Rambam explains, Shemalam is kaving ela hafzid ala lokeach o al zeh shesachra. Vedama she'eno hu mafzid ba mirazu ela schar azkaros. Because maybe he's just trying to mess with this person who had bought it off of him, or had hired him, for whatever reason, he has some vendetta against him. And he thinks that he'll cost this person the Sefer Torah, but he thinks that all he'll lose out on is the wages for the names of God contained therein. Because maybe he's only messed up the names of God, but the person who's bought it now can maybe get that fixed, and therefore he's only caused him a degree of harm, which he'll be satisfied with, and he'll only lose a little bit of the wages which he had coming to him, and therefore he might be pulling this type of trick, and we don't believe him to say they're invalid. Lefikach, but therefore, im amar sefer zeh o tefillin elu, oro shelhen enamu badin lishma. But if he claims that a Sefer Torah, Tefillin, which require the tanning process of the skins to be done lishma, and he says that they weren't on the Shema, since he's believed to lose out on all of his wages, he's also believed to invalidate the entire Sefer Torah and Tefillin. Because everybody understands that if you were to say this, that the entire skins weren't made for the proper purposes of being done l'shma, so then you're going to lose out on all your wages. So when he says it, we actually believe him. He loses his wages, but he also invalidates the Sefer Torah, the Tefillin. As opposed to, again, by saying that God's names weren't done right, he might have thought that he wouldn't lose out on all his wages, though he actually does, because it's only a part of it, and maybe it could still be fixed. So because people aren't as familiar with those laws, we don't trust him in that case, but we do trust him with regards to the Ibud L'shma on Tefillin and Sefer Torah. Halacha Yotes. Ein kosvin Tefillin u'mezuzos ela b'ksav ashuri. We only write Tefillin and Mezuzah in the standard Hebrew text, the form of the letters that we are familiar with. However, Chazal permitted one to write a Sefer Torah, not just in the same text that we're familiar with, but also in Greek. However, the Rambam says, however, this type of Greek writing has already been lost from the world, and even now what remains of it is messed up. It's not the type of thing you can write in. Therefore, all three, Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzos, we only write nowadays in this same text called Ashuris that we are familiar with, the standard Hebrew that we find in Tefillin, Sefer Torah, Mezuzos. And you have to be very careful when you write them to ensure that not a single letter is connected to another letter. Because any letter which doesn't have pure, clean, empty hide surrounding it from all four sides is invalid. And any letter which an average child, not one who's particularly precocious, not one who's particularly foolish, would have trouble reading it, any letter which is hard for them to read, so then it's considered invalid. You have to be very careful, therefore, to make every letter be sharply clear that it's that particular letter, not to make a vav look a little bit like a yud or any of these other examples the Rambam gives, until it's something that it's easy for the reader to quickly run through. Halacha chaf. Or shahaya nakav lo yichtov al gabei hanekev. Any hide which had a hole in it, you cannot write on top of that hole. V'chol nekev shadiyo overes alav. However, any hole which the ink is able to pass over and not drip through, that's not defined as a whole umutr lechtov ala, and you are allowed to write on top of it. The fikach mutr lechtov ala or ha'ov shenis abed. Therefore, it's permitted to write on the hide of a bird. We saw beforehand a fowl is allowed to be used, assuming it's a kosher fowl. And even though its feathers might have left tiny holes when you defeathered it, nonetheless, as long as it was properly tanned, etc., it can be used, and you don't have to worry about those holes because they're too small for the ink to drip through. Nekav or achar shenechtu, if the hide after you've already written these various mitzvah items gets a puncture in it, again after the writing, im nekev bisoch ha'oz, if the hole is in the midst of a letter, kigon toch hey o toch mem vechein shar ozios, if it's in the center of a hey, in other words, not actually on any of the ink, it's just within the airspace of the hey or a mem or any letter along those lines, kosher, then it's valid still. Nikiv b'yerech shalos. However, if it was punctured in part of the actual letter itself, on the thigh, so to speak, of the letter, ad shenifsika, to the point where it's been split now, that it's not connected all around. If it's a tiny, tiny hole, then it doesn't count. But it's a type where it actually makes a breakage in the letter. Imnish tari mimena melo os ktana. If it still has enough, the amount of a small letter, kosher, so then it's valid. V'hu shalo tadam melo os acheres. This is assuming it doesn't look like some other letter. V'mnish tari mimena melo os ktana psula. However, if it doesn't have remaining to it, at least the minimum of another small letter, so then it's invalid. And that concludes the first parak of Hilchos Tefillin, Mezuzot, Sefer Torah. Very, very fascinating parak, one which I'm sure some of the things we were familiar with, but at least in this section of the Mishnah Torah, there's much more that we probably weren't familiar with. We have the beautiful opportunity to gain familiarity with so much of Torah Hashem. Have a wonderful day.